where are we in time? We're in the mid 15th century. Mm. The archival evidence is strong that there were experiments in printing going on. But how advanced were those experiments actually? The documents don't reflect that because most of them are legal records that are interested in other matters. They're not interested in helping future historians of the book. They're just settling a lawsuit between Gutenberg and some other guy, the shoemaker that sued him for libel, for instance. So one of the really one of the key issues is a 1439 lawsuit in Strasbourg. Gutenberg's press is established in Mainz, but he's working, and that's where he's from, but he is working in Strasbourg for a few years before that, for whatever reason. People don't actually know why he left, and that's like a one of the many things we don't know about this fucking guy.
Interesting.
We hear about Johann Gensfleisch, a goldsmith, who worked with three other people, Hans Riff, Andreas Dritzen, and Andreas Hailman, to improve a number of secret processes. So what this case is really about is that one of these three partners died and his heirs sued to basically replace him in the partnership.
Okay.
But we know that these guys were working with, and then this is why, you know, this relates so much to what we were talking about, how in printing, there are certain words that like only one guy knows. Historians have theorized and stressed and speculated about the meaning of these particular words in these documents because they say things like pieces, forms. Are those, is that movable type? What are they made of? How is he holding them together? You know, there's so many questions about what they mean. And also because printing isn't in its infancy, there is not a vocabulary to describe what they're doing.
Okay.
They're doing it for the first time. Who do you think Johann Gensfleisch is?
I have no idea.
It's Gutenberg.
Is he the person? Oh.
He's not always called Gutenberg. There's like 10 different names people refer to him as.
Oh, no. I thought it was going to be some sort of technical thing about like he was the person that figured out how to like make the metal imprint of the letters to fit into the whatever.
And then also in terms of documentary evidence, it's very possible that he wasn't the first person to print. And there's this other person called, who I love his name, Procopius Waldvogel. And he was doing like Hebrew texts and making letters out of and stuff like that, which seems really, really hard.
Yeah.
Because of the accents and the dots and stuff. Some people write for him, but unfortunately, there isn't a project Procopius.
What is the political stance of this podcast as far as Procopius goes?
I think it's important to mention people like him, but also, I mean, they had been printing for hundreds of years in Asia already.
That's so true.
And that's one thing.
Can we get into that?
That's one thing that, you know, this book came out in the 50s in France. It's not super global. It's focused on Western Europe.
Uh-huh.
There is some talk about Asia, and we'll get to that. I think it's dismissive of the accomplishments of other cultures. And that's an aspect of the book I'm not crazy about. I wanted to look up the city of Mainz and how far it was from Düren, which is the city that Lentz is from, just to kind of understand like geographically. It's about 2 hours by train where Lentz is from to where Gutenberg is from.
Okay.
See, now we're at the right time, the right place. We're in the exciting hotbed of action here. Okay. This is when things are heating up. So for some reason, we don't really know why, Gutenberg ends up back in Mainz.
Uh-huh.
He's working with two guys who are super important. Johann Fust, the financier, the similarity of his name to Faust was not lost on people.
I was just about to say.
At the time, he was actually hissed out of a village at one point where he was trying to sell books because people thought that he had collaborated with the devil in order to be making so many books and selling them as cheaply as he was selling them comparative to what people knew.
How did you handle it the last time you were hissed out of a town?
I handled it winningly. I just smiled and kept on walking. Washed my face in the morning dew. And then Peter Schoeffer, something like that. So this was a, he went to the University of Paris. He was a student. He probably worked as a copyist. You know, he was a scribe. And then he became a printer. So that's a beautiful kind of handoff right there. In 1450, and this is recorded, Fust loaned Gutenberg 800 florins at 5% interest for what is translated as implements.
Okay.
And as soon as he could, essentially, Fust got rid of Gutenberg. He sued him for defying the terms of their contract. And the security for the loan was Gutenberg's press. And because Gutenberg could not pay back the money immediately and the interest that he owed, he lost the press.
So Gutenberg's press wasn't even Gutenberg's at a major turning point in this story.
He lost all the things that he had made. This guy never had money. I think he, I read this in a different book and I wasn't taking notes. There's like five recorded loans that he took out and he could never pay back a single one of them. This guy was defaulting all over the place, just disappearing, failing, being kicked out, being stomped on, being sued by a shoemaker.
Wow.
Essentially, after this happens, very little is known about him except that he couldn't pay his loans and that he became a man of the court. And people have speculated maybe he was printing for the court, but there's no record of that. And so the quote on your lock screen that you're probably expecting me to quote right now is, I think, a real mic drop moment in this book where we learn that the name of Gutenberg does not appear on the imprint of any book.